This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSCs at Tab, and he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Sam Darnold. Though, that little comment there from Johnny, you know, I was all excited about the 100th anniversary of the NFL. I went out and dug up my Jets jersey. I went and put my little Jet flag out on my house, all proud that the Jets were undefeated to start the season. And then, of course, what did they do? They lost. And Darnold's got mono. You just can't make it up. As a Jet fan, though, actually, you can make it up as a Jet fan. So, it's like pretty much par for the course. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Actually, I use the word fan kind of weirdly as a Jet fan. You really can't be a fan. It's almost like a glutton for punishment, really. You can't really cheer a team on like that. But we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And speaking of concerns, so, you know, here in Connecticut, right, I was listening to the news the past couple days, and everyone's talking about the big surprise that we have a new grocery tax, right? Somehow, it's all confusing. We don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, rotisserie chickens are going to cost 7.3% more. You know, everyone, in the old days, right, Bob, the politicians would say, a chicken in every pot. Here in Connecticut is, well, you can have that, but it's going to cost you 7.75% more.
7.35%.
Exactly.
Which is actually equal to the luxury tax.
A luxury tax on your rotisserie chicken.
A luxury tax on your groceries.
Just so that we can make sure those UConn professors get those $250,000 pensions. We've got to make sure that we cover those guys. And the reason I bring this up is because it sounded like everyone was so surprised. Where the Department of Treasury and our taxing folks are trying to figure out what the legislature meant. Now, if our legislature can't make it clear enough to know how to tax chickens, why would you think legislatures could do anything with technology? Right? We've talked about this before. We got to stop hiring these ding-dongs if they can't figure out how to tax a chicken.
No, wait a minute. You mean to tell me they wrote legislations and they didn't read their own legislation?
They probably didn't even write them. But the reason I bring this up is because I've told you for quite a while that I have a prediction that some state, probably California, here in Connecticut, who knows, some state legislature is going to break the internet for us. They're going to write some law that's going to say, oh, wait a minute, because of that law, turn off the internet. And I bring this up because the guys in California and gals are breaking the gig economy. They are going to try to force Uber and Lyft to turn their drivers who have chosen to drive a car, not for Uber and Lyft, but because of Uber and Lyft. All right. They want to force them to be employees. The moment that happens, the model, the disruptive model that Uber and Lyft brought into the economy is going to be broken. Because you now you start paying people minimum wage plus benefits plus taxes plus withdrawal, whatever they're gonna do here.
Plus vacation days.
Sick days. Sick mandatory days, sick
mandatory,
leave.
Yeah. Mandatory pensions.
You're right. The whole model is gonna fall apart. And again, this is in the Silicon Valley state. This is where IT is. They're gonna break. You wanna send your kid to STEM. You should ask yourself, why would you do that? Because these ding-a-lings are going to destroy the industries that STEM is all about, right? Science, technology, and math. There's tons of geeks programming for these apps, and California is going to break the whole company. And so, look, you might be out there, yeah, Eric, but those guys, they're due their due. You know, they're due to get paid, you know, a fair whatever. Fine. They've chosen to take their vehicle and turn it into a money-making machine. Of what value, of what percentage, is really up to that person who chose to say, I'm going to go ahead and use this app so that it allows for easy billing. Somebody needs a ride. I've got a car. I've got an app here that makes the billing process simple. That's all it is. Imagine if you just think about all Uber's done is allowed people to be connected. The passenger who needs the ride and the guy who has the vehicle or gal who wants to drive that passenger around. All the app is a billing tool. You could equate this to a pizza shop, right? The pizza shop wants to collect money on your credit card. Does that mean the merchant services makes the pizza shop their employee because they allow the credit card to actually process? No, we all agree no. Somehow that's okay. We know, of course, the pizza shop is not an employee of MasterCard. Well, why is Uber, when they allow for the transaction to occur, make the drivers their employees? That doesn't make any sense. These drivers can drive whenever they want. They can drive however they want. They can take a break whenever they want. They are their own independent contractors, and the government of California, they're there to help, are going to pretty much put those Uber drivers out of work.
Well, you know the old saying.
Yeah, I know.
I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
And then you think about it, back here in Connecticut, we can't figure out how to tax a chicken.
Yes, they can.
Well, they're all confused about it and surprised. And
they're not surprised.
Everyone's up in arms.
You know what? You're not going to tell me these legislators didn't read the stupid bills that they voted for.
They don't. And they don't know what they're doing.
And they don't care.
That's my point. The ding-dongs in California are probably just some bill away from breaking the internet in California.
Well, you know what? They get paid. They have benefits. They don't have to worry because all they have to do is raise taxes
and get more money
More money.
So I'll put this out here for you guys. It's important to think about this. I don't care where you stand on whether or not someone should be paid fairly or not. This person chose to be a driver. Nobody forced them to do it. They were told what they were going
to
make.
And they don't have to continue to be a driver.
They can quit instantly, not use it at all. For California to say, you must make them employees, give them a minimum wage, give them benefits. I'm sorry, guys. You're crazy. You're kooky. I was listening to some story on, I think NPR had a headline. Why do we keep having disruptive replacement approaches to business? Why don't we just work on making them better, making the existing ones better? Well, it's because of this. You guys break everything. Any kind of disruptive improvement on technology, you look at any legislature, they'll come in and break it. And here's a great example. We're not getting enough taxes from these guys. We got to figure out how to save them from Uber and Lyft. Stop. You guys are not helping. Period. I'll put a link up here for you on computertalkwithtab.com. It's an Ars Technica article about this whole thing. And I'm going to predict that Uber's going to flip the switch and say, well, because you're not driving in California. And then a lot of people in California who rely on Uber and Lyft are going to be out of a ride. So it's going to cost a lot more. So what else you got, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Do you ever go to McDonald's?
I happened to do that this morning.
Yeah.
Hopefully my wife's not listening.
Okay. Well, You might be talking to robots at McDonald's
drive-thru
soon.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fast food restaurant is adding artificial intelligence to its ordering process.
Ah.
Next time you order a Big Mac, ask yourself if you're talking to a robot or a human.
Mm.
McDonald's this week took a step toward automating how it handles your order when it acquired artificial intelligence company Apprente.
Oh, neat.
The Silicon Valley-based startup was founded in 2017 to create voice-based platforms for complex, multilingual, multi-accent, and multi-item conversational ordering.
Nice.
Which McDonald's plans to incorporate in its drive-thrus initially. The system has already been tested at a few restaurants, so maybe you've been talking to robots about McFlurries.
I love it.
McDonald's said it hopes to add the technology to its mobile ordering kiosks also.
Wow.
Apprente's gifted team and the technology they have developed will form McD Tech Labs, a new group integrated into our global technology team that will take our culture of innovation one step further, Steve Easterbrook, McDonald's president and CEO, said in a release.
Wow.
The fast food giant previously acquired Dynamic Yield, a machine learning company whose decision logic technology subtly,
okay,
not easy for me to say.
Yeah,
tweaks menu displays based on outside factors like the time of day, weather, and traffic.
Yeah.
As well as suggesting extra stuff for you to add to your order. So basically, machines will push you to get fries and a large Coke.
Do you want fries or that? It's going to be automated.
Yep. It also invested in mobile app maker Plexure to work on its global mobile app.
Right. So just think about all the great geeks that are going to be involved in fast food. You know, you're not going to have folks that are making minimum wage. Those guys are going to be replaced. However, you're going to have geeks involved that are going to be making six figures to make sure that artificial intelligence. Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. You're going to actually have a nice.
Do you want fries with that?
Quick, efficient technology. Now, we do a lot of voice recognition when you're on the phone with big insurance companies or what have you, right? You know, say one for the next one or say two, and half the time they can't understand what you're saying. So hopefully this artificial intelligence is going to be effective. Obviously McDonald's wouldn't put it in if it wasn't going to be effective, because who wants to have a big line at the drive-thru? But it's going to replace minimum wage workers, sorry guys, with geeks, IT workers. So,
yeah, but you know what? One IT worker is going to replace about 100 or maybe 1,000 minimum wage workers.
Oh, I know.
Well, if you look at the number of McDonald's stores there are worldwide,
yeah,
you know, and with drive-thrus, they all have drive-thrus.
Right. So I want to thank the legislatures for, of course, making that happen for everybody, because the more you make the cost of somebody saying, do you want fries or that, too high, it's going to be automated. That's what happens. Simple as that. You make it more expensive, you make it more scarce. It's just how economics works. Unless you mandate that they have to hire X number of people, which wouldn't put it past them to do. If you have a brick and mortar building with four walls and an M over it, you must hire 50 people.
They're just going to be putting people out of business.
Yeah,
companies out of business. They don't care.
I know. Anything else you want to? We got to step out for a break. So we'll step out for a break here, guys, and get to your calls. Three lines open on this Saturday morning: 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I want to hear what you think about this Uber and Lyft debacle in California, where they're making Uber and Lyft treat their drivers as employees. What do you think about that? What's your opinion on that? I'd love to get your take on it as well, if you want to call in with that as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Three lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. What's your opinion on this? Do you think California is doing the right thing by forcing Uber and Lyft to treat their gig economy folks who use their app to simply allow for the transaction to occur between a rider and a ride to become employees?
I'll bet you a nickel there's some lobbyist group for somebody somewhere that's, you know, being paid to promote this with the politicians.
So, well, what's your opinion on this? But let's go to your calls, and believe it or not, the first call is from North Carolina. We're going to go to Karen out there. What's going on, Karen?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't have an opinion about the Lyft and Uber drivers, but I did enjoy the story about the rotisserie chicken tax.
Well, you're down in California. You're probably not paying 7.3% more for your chickens, are you?
No,
yeah.
Not.
That's why all of us are going to be heading your way.
That's
eventually.
A luxury, you know.
It's true.
It's crazy.
Okay, I hope I have a question and a problem, actually. I hope it's easy because I listen often.
Yeah.
I got two messages, mm-hmm. And it froze my computer. Both were red screens. It said Mozilla Firefox caught a critical error,
mm-hmm.
and I was locked out. It pulled up a tab on its own, and then I was locked out, and I just powered down the machine. In the first situation, this happened twice. The first time was contact Microsoft with a phone number, which
right.
was bogus.
Right.
The second time, a few days later, was Microsoft, which is a different number.
Mm-hmm.
So I downloaded and purchased Malwarebytes. I ran a scan yesterday. I can't find anything. And
right.
And I'm sure that it's not real, but how
right.
do I get rid of these things if I can?
You should be able to clear your cache.
Okay.
So most likely it's some sort of browser hijack or something in your cache that's bringing up when you go ahead and surf this warning message. Also, are you running OpenDNS?
I am not.
Well, you should configure that too while you're doing your security improvements and you're thinking security. So go to our website at computertalkwithtab.com. And there's always links or archive links about how to configure OpenDNS. It's a much safer way for you to be surfing on the internet as well, and it'll lessen the chances of these browser cache tricks to even get to your system.
I think I know how they found me. I was looking for some email that I should have gotten, and I found this message in my spam folder. I should have been smarter, and it said, "We know your passwords," and it was on the email was part of my sign-in password.
Yes, that's a trick, too.
Yeah, and I know that, and I opened it only to print it off,
mm-hmm.
and then I deleted it, and I'm sure that put me on the list that said we have a potential.
No.
But no?
That's,
okay.
Yeah, that's a phishing scheme to try to get you to extort. It's extortion. It's an extortion email. They're trying to take your money.
Right, so if you had responded to them and interacted with them, is that a risk? Opening that message probably didn't do anything.
If that is currently if that's a current email or password that you're using anywhere, go change it. Immediately, change it.
Yeah, I did. They got part of the password. So it may have been limited in the number of characters, but mine go out to 13 and 14 characters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, don't use the same password on all your accounts either.
Yeah, I don't, and I do write them down.
Oh, good. Yeah. Most likely they just found one of the breaches, right? So well, Yahoo was breached with a billion users.
This is a worldwide thing.
Yeah,
you're extorting people, and just ignore them, delete them.
Yeah.
So it's not my IP address, which was my fear. It's my cache. Okay.
Yeah, you surfed somewhere, and that's what I'm saying. With OpenDNS configured, you'll have less chance of surfing places that are malicious that'll deliver the malware to your browser or wherever it's going to try to deliver it. And so because you're not using that tool, you're more vulnerable than you should be.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy your tax-free chickens.
I will. Thank you.
All right, Karen.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you think back.
We got until October 1st.
Yeah. But you just think back. The old politicians used to say, hey, a chicken in every pot. Here in Connecticut, it's going to cost
keep
you all
buying
a lot
those
more.
Chickens because we're going to tax you to the luxury rate.
A luxury tax on patisserie chickens. I mean, you don't even know. I mean,
well, any food that's ready to eat.
Yes. A bagel.
Yeah.
A muffin.
Well, they said if you buy less than a half a dozen. If you buy five, it's going to be taxed. If you buy six, it's not going to be taxed. I mean, it's all this
crazy.
Stupid little stuff in there.
Welcome
Devils
to Connecticut.
In the details.
Let's go to Joe in Connecticut. You got a comment on Uber and what's going to happen with them, Joe?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
First off, I appreciate your show. Some very helpful information.
Thanks.
Regarding this issue, there is a deeper thing you have to remember, is a level of liability. And Uber, or Uber, I don't know how you people want to pronounce it. I'm
Uber.
Always made fun of
yeah.
some of that Uber. They are in the transaction
yes.
as a director. They're a director. That's the courts are starting to rule on this. And one analogy that I would ask you to look at
yeah.
There are some recent articles about Amazon having taken over their own distribution away from FedEx and UPS. And there's a rising percentage of deliveries being handled by subcontracted people in vans riding around with cell phone GPS making these deliveries.
Sure.
There has been a number of deaths, injuries, and property damage by these drivers, and some courts have ruled that Amazon does not have liability.
Well, so Joe, I hear you on that. Now, I'm going to give you a second analogy to consider. When I was a kid, I was a paper boy for the Hartford Courant, driving around, delivering papers. Do you think the Courant made me an employee, sir?
Okay, first thing is you were a minor.
Oh, of course. So they're exploiting child labor laws, but we won't even go there.
No. Minors in 99% of situations cannot be held to contractual agreements.
Well, there's also plenty of older kids that were delivering papers, but if you want to use that, fine. Let's assume I was 18 years old. Would I be an employee delivering newspapers for the Hartford Courant?
Are they directing you?
Of course they are. They're telling me where to go, which people to go deliver the paper to. Of course they were. But of course, that's a silly thing, right?
Well, wait, hold off a second.
Yeah.
Then it's a case of an individual basis to be ruled by the courts whether the actions of the person that's directed had a bona fide contention to be awarded damages to the party that was aggrieved.
But remember, I'm an independent contractor. I'm not an employee of the Courant. I'm the one that actually had to buy the papers, sell them to my customers that they were directing me to sell them to, and give them the difference.
You're not an independent contractor. You're a dependent contractor.
Well,
because your only contracting is through one source. If you were delivering five newspapers,
I'd have six paper routes.
Situation.
I had six paper routes.
But so if you're a paper boy and you commit property damage,
are they going to go after the Courant?
You could.
No.
The court would have to rule whether or not the direction of the Hartford Courant. For example, if the Hartford Courant.
Hey, Joe, I gotta go. I gotta go on a hard break. Do you want to hold over?
I can.
All right, sure. Hang on. We're going to hold on with Joe. We'll talk a little more about this. We have one light up in for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC-522-WTIC. We're on with Joe before we came against the hard break. Sorry, Joe, I didn't want to lose you there, so you want to finish your point.
So that's okay. Generally speaking, I do agree with you about the infringement of business by government and its overreaching in many areas.
Yeah.
But rather than be broad-based, we have to think of particulars. And the example of a newspaper carrier, for example, if they tell a boy that you must deliver on the second porch and you must put it inside the screen door.
They do.
And the child is, say, damaged by an animal or injures himself, then in that case they're directing specific activity.
Mm-hmm.
So they might possibly be ruled as being involved. And making an employee out of somebody just helps the courts define exactly where the limits of liability are. It's a little easier for them to determine the actions and directions of the people that are behind the scenes, and it gives a little bit more credence to the fact that people should have some responsibility for their product that ends up on the shelf or being delivered. And I understand it could be overboard, but basically it's the greater good. You have to look at the number of people that can be and will be damaged by children that are delivering newspapers and not driving vehicles. They're not able to do the damages that someone in a car directing and delivering packages or taking people on rides are capable of doing. So I agree with you. You're right. It's a little overboard, but we have to look deeper than that and say, what is the ramifications of not having an employee, just having an open field of saying, there are times when an independent contractor does not have any liability. For example, a sports official, a high school sports official, for example, goes out and calls a game, and then someone gets injured. You say, I'm going to sue that official because they were negligent. Well, there's yet to be a court ruling that will hold a sports official liable for damage unless there was an egregious situation. So there's one indication for you.
I got news for you. When I was a sports official, I had to have liability insurance.
And the other thing,
I understand. I was a sports official for 20 years.
Right. So it sounds like, Joe, you're more worried about who you're going to sue. And I can tell you, too, I mean, if you look at your car insurance, the insurance companies are asking now, are you using your vehicle for a gig economy style thing?
Correct.
And that way, the insurance companies, rather than the people making it possible for you to actually have a way to make money being the target, it's the insurance companies who have to adjust their liability because I'm driving my vehicle, right? So that's right. Really where the liability ends.
Right.
Uber has nothing to do with that.
Right. But the insurance companies cannot direct their limits of liability without directions by the courts and the legislature. That whatever they do will eventually come back in their hands after a situation. It's not, you're misconstruing it. I'm not worried about who to sue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about those that are damaged. I could give you a New York Times website that did a New York Times article that did an in-depth study of the Amazon situation,
yeah.
And you will see people that got killed and their families are left with no course of action, none. They're wiped out, and Amazon says sorry, and the court says, well, they,
well, you can sue the driver. Do. You can sue the driver who is the responsible party. Okay. Amazon is not responsible for the driver's making
the
error.
We all know what happens to in a lot of cases when someone is involved in an auto accident. If the car is or truck is registered in a state where there is no liability coverage needed, like New Hampshire, there is no minimum. So if I have my van registered in New Hampshire and I'm out doing...
Well, that's a problem for New Hampshire, not a problem for Amazon. That's a problem for the legislature in New Hampshire.
Boston, if I have New Hampshire plates and I'm working for a subcontractor of a subcontractor and making deliveries in Boston and I kill someone,
mm-hmm.
Who's liable?
You. You killed somebody.
Okay. And I have no insurance. So where does a family go for...
Well, you shouldn't have been allowed on the road. Didn't that happen recently where the guy was allowed on the road because of malpractice on the Massachusetts side as far as the guy's license? I mean, that's all malpractice by the government.
Situation.
Yeah, but it's all government malpractice, not the company who made it possible for the guy to do job.
There is no malpractice in having a New Hampshire vehicle driving in the state of Massachusetts.
No, but you should be insured. You should be insured, and that's up to New Hampshire.
No liability insurance for New Hampshire.
That's their problem, not Amazon's problem.
If you travel in Connecticut and you don't have insurance, whether you're out of state or not, you're breaking the law in Connecticut.
Exactly. So, Joe, I appreciate your call and appreciate your feedback very much. But that's a government failure, not the company's failure. It's the failure of government to not require insurance. And then the company's making it possible for you to do a job. Again, me as a paper boy, I was more of an employee of the Hartford Courant as a paper boy than an Uber driver is for Uber. Let's go to Bob in Waterbury quickly for this more discussion. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Thanks.
This is kind of not the Uber thing, but I think, yeah, they should just leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving their own cars. But in Oregon, they did the $15 minimum wage thing and everything.
Yeah.
And all the supermarkets and everything did what any store would do. They started putting in self-checkout lanes.
Right.
You know, because they just can't afford it.
But now they're going to force them.
Now the same people that were going for the $15 minimum wage are going to pass a law that you can only have two self-checkout lanes.
Exactly. They're going to limit the automation. Yeah?
Right. I mean, so these are the same people that were... They knew that the $15 minimum wage was going to do this.
Right.
And now they're trying to circumvent their own law.
I know. You can't make it up, Bob.
You can't make it up.
No.
Seattle had the $15 minimum wage, and all the companies went one foot out of Seattle.
Exactly.
You know?
The technology is going to always try to move forward as long as there's a legislator in front of it to stop it.
You have to let the economy drive the wages. The government should... what are the three things they're supposed to? Collect taxes, protect us from armies, and one other thing, but they just shouldn't be involved in economics.
Well, they don't. None of them went to school for economics. I appreciate your call, Bob.
Sure.
All right.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Yeah, if they did go to school for economics, we'd be in a much better boat. Let's go on to Patrick, who's got a question about WebRoot. What's going on, Patrick?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question. I just bought a new Dell desktop.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people, I guess, using desktops anymore.
No, desktops are very popular still.
Okay, and it came with WebRoot.
Oh, great.
On my On my old desktop, I had Malwarebytes Premium.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys recommended that a couple of years ago. I was listening to you, and I installed that in my old one.
Sure.
So is there any – does one have an advantage over the other or no?
I would stick with Webroot. I use Malwarebytes only if there's a remediation need, meaning I've been infected or something, which I haven't because I've got the tools I've recommended in the first place. But if I ever did get impacted, I would recommend Malwarebytes as a remediation tool. Webroot is a great antivirus package. So you're going to get it probably free for X number of days with your computer, and then you're going to have to pay for it, and it's going to be roughly $2 to $3 a month.
Okay.
Or you can buy it annually, but I recommend it. It's a good tool, Patrick.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Love the show.
Thank you. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. So yeah, as we wait for more calls coming in here, California is going to save the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers by making them employees. And of course, that breaks the model. Uber is having a hard enough time existing within the model they have. I'm no fan. I don't own any stock in Uber. I don't care if they live or die as far as a company. I don't care. The point is, it's a gig economy technology. All they've done is given them an app. When I was a paper boy, the current said, Eric, you got to make sure you got to buy all the papers from us. Okay. Oh, and by the way, you have to go and deliver the papers at this specific time to these specific people. Okay. And you got to go out and collect the money and then pay us for the papers, and you get to keep the difference. And if those guys didn't pay, you know, if you go and find people not paying you, guess whose pocket it was out of? Mine, not the current's.
Right.
I had to pay for the papers.
I did the same thing when I was...
Right, but nobody called me an employee of the current, right? Nobody called me, and an Uber driver, all they're saying is, look, I'm going to use this app, and it's going to connect me to the guy who needs a ride and my car, and they're going to process the payment. That's all they're doing. It's so much less than a paper boy. It's not even ridiculous.
The other thing, the gentleman brought up the part about a paper boy wasn't driving a car. Well, when I was getting the Hartford Current...
I was driving a car when I was in high school, driving around.
Well, you know, the paper wasn't a boy. There was a gentleman for a while and a lady for a while. They were driving a car, and they were just throwing it out the window on my driveway.
My brother and I were driving cars. So by the time we became 16, old enough to drive a car, I'm tooling around in the old Chevy Nova and with papers in the trunk, and we were doing 6 paper routes. We had paper routes that were too far away to ride a bike. We rode our bikes for a long time. But when we became 16 years old, I'm driving a car. So I'm just as evil as the Amazon delivery guys.
You
look out. I'm a current paper
today.
Boy.
You got to be 17.
Look out. I'm a current paper boy driving my car. Guys, it's my responsibility. It wouldn't be the current's responsibility if I got in an accident. I have insurance. I would as an insured driver. It's not the current's fault if I happen to have an accident or running over a mailbox. Who's paying for that? The current? No, I am. Right? Thankfully, I'd never ran over a mailbox. And those papers were heavy when they actually were stuffing them.
Oh,
the Sunday paper was brutal.
Oh, you're not kidding. Oh. Then I would have these specials every now and again. Thanksgiving?
Oh forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember Thanksgiving.
In the snow, too. And you think about
it. Oh, yeah.
But again, I wasn't a Hartford Current employee.
I was delivering papers up in Maine. And believe me, the snow season was long
right.
and cold.
But I would bet you, I'm not going to say it, dollars to donuts, that those people at the Hartford Current would write that the Uber drivers are employees all day long. You know what? I'm going to step out for a quick break. We got Tom, Terry, and Bill on the line. Right, Matt, take a quick break here. Does that make sense? And get back to your calls. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and everything we're going to talk about today is going to be posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Mike G. He does a great job. So if you missed a link or any of the articles we talked about and you want to go review them, they're out there for you. And any of the solutions that we put out for people will be out there as well. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Terry in Falls Village. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hi. Long-time listener and caller.
Oh, great.
You've helped me out many times.
Oh, thank you.
I have a problem. Our computer has been kind of slow lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Malwarebytes Premium.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to do a manual scan. I have it on automatic, so it scans all the time and everything.
Yeah.
But I put it on manual scan, and it went as far as the second step. It did the check for updates, and then it's on pre-scan operations, and it's been there since last night. I started this last night. And when I go on the dashboard, it says, awesome, you're protected, and all of my all of the items are checked off in green, the web protection, exploit, malware, and ransomware.
Yeah. So, and, but it's not scanning. You're stuck. It's stuck on something, huh?
Yeah, it says updates applying at the bottom.
Hmm. What kind of internet do you have there, Terry?
I have Frontier.
Okay.
Which isn't the greatest.
No, you don't need a lot of bandwidth, but you do need some. I'm guessing then maybe that there's some problem with your internet. Have you done a speed test to see if you're running even at the 1 or 2 megabytes that Frontier will give you?
No, I haven't done that yet, no.
So do a speed test and just see. You may want to cancel whatever you're doing with that little scan or the update. You can cancel that.
Mm-hmm.
And then do a speed test, and you know maybe you'll find that your internet speed is in the K's. You could be at 300K or less than a megabit because it's surely running very slowly.
Yeah,
you might have a problem with your service. That's what I'm guessing. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I'd say first reboot your computer, see if it improves, and if that doesn't work, reboot your router.
Yeah, router modems and stuff like that. Yeah, you can do that too. But
how do you reboot your router?
Unplug it.
We call it power cycling, and my kids always look at me like, what do you mean, Dad, power cycling? I mean, turn it off and turn it on.
I've done that. I've turned it off and turned it on, and it seems like it's still... It comes... When I go to bring it up, it comes right up to where it left off last night or the previous time I had it on.
Scanning-wise?
Yeah, pre-scan operations.
Oh, so cancel that pre-scan operation. You may have to go into... bring up... Task manager and kill the task.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll try that.
But I would check your speed, see where you really stand. And that's all I can tell you so far to see where your problem lies. But you're green, but if your internet is really bad, then you're going to be really slow like you're describing. How old is the machine?
It's only a couple years old.
Okay. So i5, i3?
Pardon me?
Is it i5, i3, i7?
It's an i5.
Nice. All right, so it's plenty of processing power.
Right.
Awesome.
The other thing is, about a week ago, I got a call, and I think it was a scam, and I didn't fall for it, but I just wanted to mention it. A company called and said that they had charged $299 to my credit card for computer helping out on your computer, and they gave a number to call, and also you could hit 9, which I didn't do either one. I wrote down the number.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want.
No, I don't. Did you check your credit card to see if somebody did do that? Did you check your credit card?
I did check it, and then it hasn't been done. And the only thing we have is the malware bytes.
Right. So what's happening there? It's another scam. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, you're going to call and say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're going to say, oh, well, let's check this out. And then you're going to have you connect to them, and then they're going to start scamming you.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, but if you just check your credit card and make sure nothing was billed, no one's going to call you and say, hey, I billed you.
Yeah.
Right? That's the most crazy thing.
I checked my bank account and everything, and everything's fine.
Okay, so it sounds like a scam to me.
Scam. Yeah. Okay, I thought I'd mention it for other people in case.
Yeah, generally they're all scams. You get a call from the IRS, it's a scam.
Oh, yeah.
Anything in your email is a scam. You almost got to be careful now for these free Starbucks cards and stuff and Amazon gift cards. These emails that say, hey, you fill out a survey and you might get these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of scams going on where you click on those buttons and you're delivering malware to your machine. So I wouldn't even fall for those anymore. Even if they're legitimate, I wouldn't do them anymore.
Okay. Now what if this doesn't help, any of the things you suggested doesn't help? Should I call Malwarebytes Premium?
As far as your performance on your computer?
Or the scan? I don't know if it's that or whether there's something wrong with the Malwarebytes.
I would uninstall Malwarebytes and reinstall it.
Oh, and it'll...
That should clear up the program if it's the program.
Okay, that's...
And then if that doesn't work... Yeah, then if that doesn't work, there's something wrong with your machine.
Okay, everything else works. I mean, we can go to the web... Every website, except that it's slow getting there.
Right. Do a speed test. I bet you it's really bad.
Okay. All right.
All right, Terry.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to next is Tom in Ellington. What's going on, Tom? Tom, you there? Hey.
Yeah. Did you say Ellington? I'm in Harwinton.
Matt wrote Ellington. I don't know. We don't pay him by the letter.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, would configuring OpenDNS on your PC cause websites to load more slowly?
Nope. Always faster. Okay. Always faster.
Okay. So 2 weeks ago, I called you. I talked to you and Bob. I was having two problems. One, I was getting a server not found, and when I refreshed the page, it would always come back up. And the other one was I was an administrator on a website, and I was getting logged off after one, 2, or 3 days.
Right. You wanted to force that connection all the time.
Now.
Yeah.
Eric was very upset.
I was.
And I felt bad. Yeah, you asked me if I was using OpenDNS.
Right.
I sheepishly said no, and you went, ah!
So now you're using it.
On Monday, I configured OpenDNS.
Good.
Now, it's been 5 days, and I haven't been logged out of the website where I'm an administrator. So
it
looks like this is working.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You can send a check to. I'm just kidding.
Okay. It's worth every penny I pay. Now, the other problem is I'm still getting that server not found, and it only happens about 5% at a time.
Okay, so we thought it was a DNS issue. We thought issue. Where do I put the accent on the syllable? We thought it was a DNS issue. So by using OpenDNS, you've eliminated that. So it's your web that website's got a problem with its DNS. All websites?
The getting logged off was only on a forum that I was on.
Right.
The website not found or can't find server, whatever it's saying.
Yeah.
That's happening any place.
Okay,
it only happens 5% at a time.
Well, it's not a DNS issue because now you're using a different DNS. So
what do you think it is?
Bad internet service.
Hmm.
And what do you have for speed?
Charter.
Yeah.
I've got 75 meg download.
That's plenty. That's plenty of bandwidth.
12 upload.
That's all plenty. So your bandwidth purchase that you have for Charter is fine. How are you connecting your computer, Tom? Is it hardwired or wireless?
It's hardwired.
Hardwired. So you're getting all the benefits of your internet service.
Yeah, I've done speed tests, and it's 75.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So,
I'm just curious. Like,
well, I'm curious, too. That shouldn't be the case, right? So you should, I mean, if it's a small, minor, occasional thing, but you shouldn't even have that.
I never did.
Yeah, you've changed your DNS, so it's not that anymore. Your internet service is solid. Your connection is solid.
Yep.
What version of operating system do you have?
It's the latest updated Windows 10. I'm not sure the number, but I...
No, that's fine. So you're up to date on Windows 10.
Yep, up to date on Firefox.
So
up to date on Chrome.
As the Click and Clack Tappet brothers would say, you've stumped the chumps. We don't know...
Bob,
do you have an idea, Bob?
Yeah, I would try to do a reset your IP stack.
Okay.
What the heck does that mean?
I'm not sure where he's going
either. So what you need to do is open up an administrative command prompt. Do you know how to do that?
Nope.
So you type in, under the search, Charlie Michael David, CMD.
CMD, okay.
All right, and it'll bring you up like a little black icon. You right-click on that and choose Run as Administrator.
Yeah, you're gonna right-click. That's the key, is to choose to Run as Administrator.
Right.
Okay.
So it'll open up a black box that'll say Administrator : Command Prompt.
Right.
Okay, and in that, you're going to type in NETSH space WinSock, WINSOCK. Space reset, and you have press enter, so it'll reset your IP stack, and then you're going to need to reboot your computer. That may fix it.
Right. If it doesn't, we're not really sure.
Will you post a link for that? Because I'm not writing this down, and I'm never going to remember that.
Yeah, we'll try to find a link for something like that to how to refresh your stack there, and you can always listen to the podcast again. Listen to yourself.
That's true.
So we got to go, Tom. So hopefully that'll help you. But you've done everything correctly. It's configured correctly. We're out of ideas besides that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Tom.
Well, now I got OpenDNS.
All right.
I can sleep well at night.
I'm feeling much better for you, Tom.
Okay.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11, guys. So stick around. Two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you've got an opinion on how California is helping the Uber drivers by making them employees, give me a ring. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.